Our scripture lesson this morning is a very familiar Jesus story. It's in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. One day Jesus was standing beside Lake Gennesaret when the crowd pressed in around him to hear God's word. Jesus saw two boats sitting by the lake. The fishermen had gone ashore and were washing their nets. Jesus boarded one of the boats, the one that belonged to Simon, then asked him to row out a little distance from the shore. Jesus sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he finished speaking to the crowds, he said to Simon, "Row out farther into the deep water and drop your nets for a catch." Simon replied, "Master, we've worked hard all night and caught nothing. But because you say so, I'll drop the nets." So they dropped the nets, and their catch was so huge that their nets were splitting. They signaled for their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They filled both boats so full that they were about to sink. When Simon Peter saw the catch, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Leave me, Lord, for I'm a sinner." Peter and those with him were overcome with amazement because of the number of fish they caught. James and John, Zebedee's sons, were Simon's partners, and they were amazed too. Jesus said to Simon, Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." As soon as they brought the boats to the shore, they left everything and followed Jesus. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Oh, dearest God, we do know that Christ lives on. But still we are afraid. Still we pray that we can embrace the changes and follow you into the changes. Because you know that we know that you will help us. We want, O God, to leave something behind so that we can follow you. And somehow, O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts make a joyful noise and be pleasing to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There was a woman who was in a mental hospital in the state of Washington. And the chaplain kept coming to see her day after day. And every day the chaplain would say to her, "God loves you." And after many, many visits, this woman just got sick and tired of hearing the chaplain tell her how much God loved her. So finally one day she said to the chaplain, "Please, please stop telling me how much God loves me. First, you love me, and then maybe I'll come to know that God loves me." Jesus performs miracles in stories in our gospel lessons. Water turns into wine, the wedding party goes on. Today, the unsuccessful fishers take the advice of a carpenter, and their nets are miraculously bursting with fish. And maybe the greatest miracle of all is that they leave fishing to follow Jesus. They pursue with Jesus possibilities completely outside their experience, outside their knowledge. Why? You say that God loves everyone? Prove it. If we are to embrace God's possibilities, we might need to experience a miracle, one that fits our life experience. For the fishers listening to Jesus at the lakeside, they experienced a miracle catch of fish. What is the miracle that will launch you and me out of our comfort zones? I wanted to call this sermon Blow Up Church. But I didn't think you'd like it if on the sign outside it said Blow Up Church. You can order a blow-up church. You can order it in gothic gray. You can order it in hot pink. Whatever your wedding color is, you can order a traditional-looking inflatable church. You think that's the future? I don't think the future of church is going to be about buildings. And frankly, the church in the past really wasn't about buildings. The great teachers and faith reformers were not so much about bricks and mortar. Martin Luther took the teaching of the faith out of the church buildings and back into the Christian homes in Germany. John Wesley preached outside at the mines and in the cemeteries. And did you know it was against the law to do that? Anglican law, of course. But it was against church law to preach outside the building. And then he created, you know, little groups of accountability, and they met in homes. And here we are with the original reformer. Jesus is the original reformer. You know that, right? Those of us who are in the asking the questions, what is that saying? Living the questions. We're talking about Jesus as a reformer. Because Jesus, what faith was Jesus? Jewish. Jesus was Jewish. He's the first reformer. He's trying to reform the Jewish faith. So where is he? Is he inside the synagogue in today's story? No. He's out in the middle of nowhere, preaching to a whole bunch of people. So many he has to get in a boat so he can actually get a little distance and talk to them. So Jesus demonstrates what's possible with the power of God in our lives. And a great catch of fish fills the nets and the boats to overflowing. And what is Peter's immediate response to this? He sees what's going on, and he feels unworthy. Jesus finds him very worthy. Jesus sees all the possibilities in this low-class, uneducated, and unsophisticated fisherman. The response of Peter, James, and John is fear. How do we know that? How do we know they were afraid? Because Jesus says to them, don't be afraid. Jesus wants to show us what is possible. But to see what's possible, we have to let go of our fears and maybe even what we know. You know, the fishers fished at night. That's when they had a better success at fishing. They'd been fishing all night. They're tired. They've repaired their nets. And the carpenter tells the fishers what to do. Does that ever go well where you come from? But they do it. Sometimes we have to let go of our knowledge and our fear to see what's possible. So Jesus is choosing the leaders of a faith movement. And he isn't recruiting the building contractors. He isn't recruiting the seminary graduates or people with MBAs, PhDs, or MSWs. How many of you like to fish? About six of us. It has been said, a true fisher is one who persists at the task for hours on the mere possibility of making the great catch. When the fishers see a glimpse of what is possible with Jesus, their immediate response is they're scared. This is outside their comfort zone. This is bigger than big. This will change everything. And Peter is the first, as usual. Peter's always the first to speak up. He's the first to say, I'm too small. I'm too imperfect. I'm too limited. I'm too stuck for this. Go away. He tells Jesus to go away. Isn't that what most of us tell Jesus when we are confronted with great expectations? Nope. I'm not worthy. I'm not enough. Jesus, please, just go away. But Jesus doesn't want Peter, James, and John to be left behind. Jesus is choosing the persistent fishers of Galilee, the ones who know how to wait and to be persistent. The first thing they have to do is leave behind what they know. The fishers know boats and nets and storm clouds and water currents. And they know Jesus sees bigger possibilities than their boats. How about your boat? Simon's fishing boat that day was large enough to hold a lot of fish, and it would have taken a lot to sink it. It would have to have been something very big to get its crew simply to walk away from it and the livelihood that it represented. Our boats, our resources, the source of our livelihood and security are substantial for many of us. But even if it's just a little, it takes a lot for us to walk away, right? Look at the boat of this church. Kind of does look like a boat upside down, right? It's a big boat. Perhaps it strikes us as wholly unrealistic and even irresponsible to walk away from our work and the people it supports, even ourselves. The cost of discipleship is high. We have to leave behind what we know for the possibilities we can't see from here. When Jesus, the carpenter, convinces the veteran fisherman to strike back out into the deep after a long night of frustration, the yield is beyond what you could ever have convinced them they would ever catch. But it gives them a glimpse of what's possible. In some ways, the past history of Christianity is like that great catch. The challenge for us is that the old ways of doing and being church are not filling the boat to overflowing anymore. What does it look like for us to strike out into the deep when we're tired and convinced that there are no more people interested in the good news of God that we might have to offer? What possibilities of God's overflowing grace and love and hope and joy are waiting for us and for those who aren't here? Maybe we are like Peter, not able to believe that these possibilities can be true. Well, not based on what we see so far. Every day brings news of more of the same in the world, right? More intolerance, more division, more violence, more death. And we too have been living in the all night long, where often we can only see emptiness and despair. And Jesus says, in the midst of that, do not be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching people. Jesus calls us to look beyond what we can see and what we think to be true. Jesus calls us to go deeper, to toss the nets of our faith wider and farther. And God, through Jesus, fills the nets to breaking. People that we might not otherwise meet or know. Jesus seeks to fill our nets and us with abundance and hope. But we may have to leave behind what we already know. Still got your bulletin? On the front of your bulletin is a new church start in our Michigan Conference of the United Church of Christ. New Waves United Church of Christ is in the Traverse City area. And right now, it's just a cornfield. Actually, right now, it's probably a fallow field. Nothing happening there in the wintertime. We are still building new churches. But when you build a new church, you build it with people. We are not a new church. We are an old church. We are an established church. But you know, how did you get here? Someone loved you. Someone loved you to get you here. Someone believed in your potential, in your possibilities. Love is what puts a congregation in motion. Love is what puts individuals in motion. You remember that gal who said, you know, I don't want to hear how much God loves me. I want to hear that you love me. The only way we know that God's possibilities are real is to try them out for ourselves. The only way people will know that the church has something of God for them is for us to be God's message of love that reaches real people in a real world. If we truly believe in the miraculous possibilities of Jesus, then we have to leave behind anything that is not serving, not reaching, and not loving people who are not here today. Jesus has already declared, we are worthy. We are called into greater possibilities than an inflatable church. We're called to love others as God has loved us. I believe that there are so many people saying to us, don't tell me that God loves me. You love me, and then I'll know that God loves me. So friends, let's find new ways to fish as a church so that the message of love is received, even if we have to leave our familiar boats behind. May it be so.